We're shipping Easter gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send gift baskets?
For sure.
Protect electronics? Dog-proof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Visit a store today.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, happy Friday to you, America. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Wow, we've got a lot going on today, everybody. And by the way, it is Open Line Friday. So this is the one day of the week that you get to call in. You can ask me any question you want to ask. You can talk about whatever you like to do, whatever you would like to talk about. We will take those questions throughout the program today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You're going to need this, 901-260-5926. Again, the number, 901-260-5926, and we will be taking your calls throughout the show. So I want to start today. We are following a story out of the Senate, and I'm not surprised that that this sort of thing is happening, but we are watching some Republicans in the Senate rise up and stand out against President Trump and his tariffs. And we are going to be naming and shaming these senators. Now, if you go to my website, toddstearns.com, you are going to see that we have listed the names and the contact information for all of the senators on my website. So I want you to go there, and we'll give out the name as well, or rather, we'll give out the phone numbers as well in just a few moments. But you need to understand that this is not going to be a cakewalk for President Trump as we move through these next 4 years, that the president is going to be facing opposition from many within his own political party. And that's a problem. So we're going to be standing alongside the president here, and we're going to be calling these people out. And so I want you to hear the names here. And again, we have the information on toddstearns.com. Name and shame. The seven Republican senators who have sided with Democrats over the Trump tariff plan. Now, these are the seven Republican senators who have co-sponsored the bill so far. We have Susan Collins of Maine, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Mitch McConnell, Senator Turtle of Kentucky, Jerry Moron of Kansas, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and Todd Young of Indiana. I'm not terribly surprised here by any of these names, but this is what it is. And these Republicans have signed on to the Trade Review Act. This is a bipartisan bill sponsored by Maria Cantwell of Washington State. She's the Democrat. And the bill would make the tariffs imposed by Trump or any future president disappear after 60 days, if not approved by Congress. So what the senators are trying to do here is that they're trying to impose their will on the president of the United States. And what they're telling the American people is that the Senate has more power than the president of the United States. Folks, it's really remarkable, the thinking in Washington, D.C. You have these activist judges, and they believe they have greater power than the president. Now you have the senators thinking they have greater power than the president. But as we have all seen here, this president knows the art of the deal. This president is basically telling all of these career politicians, and that's all they're good at, raising money, getting elected, and lying to you, the great voters of America. That's what's going on here. But President Trump This man is not a politician at his heart. He's a businessman, and he understands what it's like to negotiate. And the president has been out there, and he's done a pretty darn good job of it. And I know that some of you are still concerned about your 401ks in the stock market. Well, hate to break it to you, but you need to be diversifying your retirement funds. We've been telling you about that for many, many years on this program. But the good news is, give it some time, and whatever you have invested in the stock market, that money's going to come back to you. Just don't pull out right now. So I want you to write down the telephone number here, and I want you to call your senator, and then I want you to call me, and I want you to tell me what they told you. But these, again, the seven senators, Susan Collins, Chuck Grassley, Mitch McConnell, Jerry Moran, Lisa Murkowski, Tom Tillis. I have a question for you folks in North Carolina. Why does your senator spell his name with an H? It's Tom. We don't need the H. The H is silent. And Todd Young of Indiana. Now write this number down, 202-224-3121. That is the U.S. Capitol switchboard, and we need to be lighting up the switchboard today. That's 202-224-3121. And the switchboard operator, be very nice and polite, and that individual will direct you to your senator that you asked for. And quite frankly, we need to be calling all of these people, every single one of them. This is what happens when you elect the same people every 6 years. These people are rhinos. They are the epitome of the establishment wing of the Republican Party. And they are going to stand against Donald Trump every step along the way. So again, if you miss those numbers, if you need to see the names again, we have those up on our website right now at toddstearns.com, and our team getting that information up there for you. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, President Trump is now getting ready to play hardball with the sanctuary cities. And the president is threatening to defund all of these sanctuary cities. Now, a sanctuary city is a city that has become a safe harbor for illegals. And I was watching a program last night, and they had some Democrat on there. I can't remember the Democrat's name, but the Democrat was just a typical run-of-the-mill Democrat. And they said something along the lines of, well, who are we to judge these illegals? If the illegals are here and they're abiding by our laws, then they should be allowed to stay here. Well, there's just a giant flaw in that argument. You see, if the illegals are here, that in and of itself means they have broken the law. So they're not obeying the laws. So they got to go. Bye-bye. I mean, it really is that simple for me. For many people, they're conflicted, they're twisted. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus would send the illegals back to where they came from. It's about the rule of law, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, this story from WGN in Chicago. President Trump yesterday said the administration taking efforts to withhold federal funding from cities and states with policies that limit local law enforcement from cooperating with federal authorities. The president writing on Truth Social, no more sanctuary cities. They protect the criminals, not the victims. They are disgracing our country and are being mocked all over the world. Working on papers to withhold all federal funding for any city or state that allows these death traps to exist. Among the cities, Chicago, Denver, New York, and Boston. By the way, in Los Angeles, you had two schools over there, and they refused to let immigration authorities on the campus. According to the Los Angeles Daily News, two Los Angeles Unified Schools denied entry to federal agents amid immigration enforcement fears. The superintendent of schools, Alberto Calvajo, I think the O is elongated, angrily reacted on Thursday after federal agents tried to get into two elementary school campuses in South L.A., Lillian Street Elementary and Russell Elementary. Carvalho said this, "As a former undocumented teen in this country, can we just stop right there for a moment? Just stop right there for a moment. Is he still undocumented? What did he do to become a legal citizen? And by the way, if the superintendent is not a legal citizen, he gotta go. Gotta go, sir." Let me continue. The guy says, "I cannot renounce. I cannot take off that skin. I cannot shed my experience." Oh, yes, you can, sir. You can renounce the fact that people, and let's just use this guy as an example. I don't know this guy's background, but let's just say that he came here illegally as a teenager. His parents, everybody came to America. And somewhere along the way, this guy became a citizen, a legal citizen of the United States. At some point, this guy should say, "You know what? I renounce that. We should not have come here illegally, but we did, and we made that right by working our butts off and becoming law-abiding legal American citizens." So you can renounce the past. You can renounce the crime of breaking into our country. Carvalho goes on to say, "If I am to represent who I am and what I became in this country, I have to do it in a way that honors the humanity and dignity of those who are currently in the exact same condition decades after I was in that predicament. So I would put my job on the line in the protection of our students and our workforce." Apparently, five individuals were targeted at the schools. The principal did not confirm or deny the five were students, because that would abuse the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. So they're not allowing federal agents inside these schools. And you know what? That's fine. That is fine. They don't have to do that. But you know what? We have to revoke the federal funding. And this is where the president has a big heart. He's a big-hearted man. But if I were president, these schools would have already been defunded. The moment they refuse to allow ICE agents on is the moment that you cut off the bank accounts. That's what you got to do with these people. And I understand the president is giving people grace. The problem is we've had too much grace for 30 years in this country, and it is time to fix what is broken. For example, the president threatening to crack down on the sanctuary cities. Why are we threatening? Do it. Crack down. Yank the federal funding. Do it right now. Some of you say, "But Tom, people may get hurt." It doesn't matter. There are actions and there are consequences. And I'm not a cold-hearted person. I just believe in the rule of law. So if these two schools are going to become safe spaces and they're going to harbor illegals, fine. They can do that on their own dime. Not the federal government's. So anyway, the president getting out there and saying that they're going to start cracking down and they're going to look at ways that they're going to be able to go after these sanctuary cities. By the way, my hat is off to the good lawmakers, Republican lawmakers in the state of Tennessee, where they have now advanced legislation that would allow school districts to ban illegal children from attending classes. And again, this is not anything cold-hearted. This is just a matter of fact. And I want you to hear me on this. Every single dollar that we spend on an illegal is a dollar that's not being spent on an American citizen. Every dollar that's spent educating the child of an illegal is a dollar that's not being spent educating the child of an American citizen. And we don't have a lot of money to go around right now. So we have to be very careful. We have to be frugal as a country. And that's all I'm trying to say here. But I hope the president plays hardball here, and I hope that the president moves forward. But the clock is a-ticking, and we don't have a lot of time. And I would much rather get all of this nipped in the bud in the first 100 days so we can begin the process of rebuilding our country and evicting all of these illegals. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. We're going to your calls. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, so we have a little bit of activism here, ladies and gentlemen. Head over to our website, toddstearns.com, and you will see the list of Republican senators that plan to fight Donald Trump on tariffs. You need to be giving them a call and urging them to reconsider. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Our good buddy Joe from Ella J, Georgia, listening to us on WTUN. Hi, Joe, what's going on?
Todd, you're great. I'm 85 years old, and I've been calling your show, as you know, for a couple of years. Well, I've got a trainer, and I work out every day, and I want to call your show again when I'm 95 years old, 10 years from now. And by the way, I agree with you. I've already put on Facebook, those Republican senators need to be fired. We need new leaders. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, 1,000%, Joe. Yeah, everybody's got to get on board with the president here. We've got a country to save, and we just can't have old school, you know, smoke-filled room politics anymore.
You're exactly right. Well, Todd, you're a great hero for the taxpayers, and you're doing great. And I think Trump and Musk, in my opinion, are the best friends of the taxpayers in history. And people like you, you're a great friend of the taxpayers. So I'm extremely optimistic about the future of the country, and all I can say to you is keep up your great work for hardworking taxpayers.
Joe, thank you. I'm curious. So you're 85. You've hired a trainer. What are you doing? Are you is like yoga, Zumba?
Yeah, I tell you what, I get up every morning about 5:00, and then I eat breakfast, and I walk 2 miles. And I've got a trainer, and she's great. I go to the gym. She's got she and her husband have a great gym. And she gives me a lesson once a week, and then I work out every day, and so I think I'm in real good shape. 85. I walk 2 miles every morning, and then I go down to the gym in the afternoon. But my goal is to call your show 10 years from now when I'm 95 years old and say, Todd, here I am.
Joe, I'm gonna hold you to that. And I gotta tell you though, your name came up last week. I was literally on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange and ran into Jack Kingston, a former congressman from Georgia. And Jack Kingston said, "Do you really know Joe from Ella J?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Everybody knows Joe from Ella J."
Well, Jack's a good friend of mine. And as you know, he was a good congressman and he was a taxpayer champion for many years. And he's a real fine person. I've known him for 20 years. But, Todd, I really mean this sincerely. you're a great friend of the taxpayers. You do a great job on your show. And I tell everybody, be sure to tune in to Todd, because you're a great friend of the, I appreciate everything you're doing. And I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you before 10 years, but I'm going to definitely call you on my birthday.
Oh, I know. You'll be calling me next week, but I'm holding you to that, Joe. We got to do that. That'll be a great day. Joe, I got to run, my friend, but you have a great weekend and enjoy the training. Folks, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. 85 years old, and Joe's out there, and he's getting after it. Good for him. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, it's interesting, President Trump talking today about daylight saving time, and he seems to be leaning toward supporting the end of daylight saving time. And I know a lot of folks out there have very, very sincerely held opinions about this. Personally, I love the afternoons and evenings where the sun is still up. You know, I'm in the office all day, in the studio, I do all the show prep, 3 hours of radio, and then I have to do the Newsmax show. And in the wintertime, it's already dark by, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so a lot of people say, you know, it's depressing. We've got to have more daylight hours. And so they really do want to make the daylight saving time permanent. And so now President Trump, this is the headline from the New York Post, President Trump now renewing the effort to make daylight saving time permanent. The president says the House and Senate should push hard for more daylight at the end of the day. This is what President wrote today on Truth Social. Very popular, and more importantly, no more changing of the clocks, a big inconvenience, and for our government, a very costly event. So the president endorsed all of this last year, backed away from it last month, but now is circling back around. And he says that people in the northern states have concerns about kids having to go to school in the dark during the winter months. And I know Ben Dieter, the executive producer of this program, I think is a huge Dieter. You kind of like the, I think Dieter likes the fact that you can go out there and you can be outside in the afternoons, and it's not dark at 4:30 in the afternoon.
You know, time zone change and changing the clock and having to move it forward or setting it back, this has never been a bee in my bonnet. Like, I wonder if this is generational, because I don't think a lot of young people care. It's like, oh yeah, we get something different. Like, life is very monotonous, and if you don't have something to spice it up a little bit, we're just working our 9-to-5s every day. I'm wiped out. I have to do this for the next 60 years before I can retire.
It's called life.
It's nice to get a curveball, a wrench in the routine. So I actually am against the president's push on this. I know it's uniting both Democrats and Republicans that it will be 1 o'clock year round. And I don't know. I like something different, but maybe that's just my mind.
So you don't mind, like, let's say in the wintertime, It's 4:30 in the afternoon and the sun is already setting.
Yeah, because I love to sleep and I equate the darkness with sleep. So I go home after my shift. And unlike you, Todd, I have some I don't work as hard as you. So I just go to bed at 4 p.m. and I'm very well rested. And I love that. Now it's 7:30 and it's still sunny outside. I'm like, would it stop? This isn't Alaska. This isn't the midnight sun. So, yeah, in Alaska, it never gets dark in the summer.
I couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
It starts getting dark. I remember in New York City, it would start getting dark at like 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, what is going on here?
That's time to go to sleep.
It's 3:30 in the afternoon.
Time for you to hibernate. Get under your little blanket, Todd, and go to bed.
You got to live life. Let's go to David in Gainesville, Georgia. All right, David, where do you stand on this? Should we get rid of daylight saving time?
Well, no, I've heard no one talk about this or say this. This should work for both sides. Move it 30 minutes instead of an hour and leave it alone.
So you're kind of like
everybody.
So you're like King Solomon. You want to split the baby.
Split the baby. So move it 30 minutes and leave it alone. It looks to me like nobody would have an argument with that.
I like the way it is right now. I love the fact, David, that I can leave and go out and enjoy a nice walk in the park, and it's still daylight outside, and it gets dark at, what, 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock? I love that.
I do, too, but it's only going to make a 30-minute difference. You know? I mean, it's like everybody. No, I'm like you. I like it getting dark at 9 o'clock. But, shoot, move it 30 minutes. Tell Trump I said move it 30 minutes and just leave it alone.
David, I'm writing this down. I will tell President Trump that. So thank you for calling in. So David says, I haven't heard of this idea. Just split it right down the middle. Move it 30 minutes instead of an hour. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Ray wants to weigh in on deportations. Hi, Ray. What's going on?
Good morning, Todd. I am with you 100%, but on this issue, my wife is a teacher and so are my two daughters. And I think about when they go into the schools, what they're doing to these kids. It wasn't their fault that their parents brought them here illegally. And, you know, that's where I stand. You know, we still have to, you know, educating them. Yeah, it takes away from our kids, and I agree 100%. But what do we do when it's not their fault?
Well, it would be like, for example, what happens, let's just say you have two parents, a mom and a dad, and they're Bonnie and Clyde, and they go and they rob the First National Bank, and they get sent to prison. So the parents... You know, the parents, they go to jail, and then the kids, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to suffer one way or the other. And the reality here, Ray, is that I believe in keeping the families together. So I think you've got to send them all. You have to send them all back and then come back and apply. And you heard President Trump yesterday say that they were going to fast track people who actually self-deport and then apply to come back to the country. The president also said, by the way, they're not going to be getting rid of the hotel workers or the farm workers right away.
Well, you know, I agree with you 100%. But, you know, I think instead of going to the schools, why don't we go to the parents and you know, deport them all?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But, you know,
but Ray, let me, I hear exactly what you're saying. We don't know, and I should have qualified this, we don't know who they were going after at those schools. It could have been staffers. It could have been teachers. I'm pretty sure that ICE hasn't been, and I haven't seen any reports of ICE going in and just rounding up children without mom and dad.
I see what you're saying. I was thinking that they were, you know, going for students, and I really didn't think about them going for the staff.
And that may be the case. I don't think it is, though. If that had been that would have been in the reporting.
I think it's a media scare tactic.
Oh, yeah.
Because here in Memphis, in Tennessee, and across our state, you have every education group coming out and blasting Trump and Republicans. Don't touch our babies. They're just in here learning their ABCs. And everybody's like, that has never happened once. We've never seen an ICE agent here. And every school district in the state is releasing these scathing statements saying, hands off the kids, because it's not their fault, to your point, right? But we've not seen yet one report in a Tennessee school where an ICE official or Tom Holman is walking in there and rounding up these kids that are learning their phonics.
Right. My wife, she, like I said, she's an educator. And, you know, it's frustrating for her because she has a class of 27 students. And like a good 10 of them or 12 of them do not speak English. And this includes, it's not even Spanish. It's somewhere like the Somalis that are migrating out here as well. And there's a big language barrier. And that's where they don't have the funds to translate.
And Ray, that's, you know, when we talk about, you know, the expense involved, it's not a matter of just having another body in the classroom. It's about having to hire ESL teachers, right? You've got a lot of kids, to your point, that do not speak English, and that is a massive resource. And a lot of schools are having to take away resources for kids so that they can accommodate these children who do not speak the language.
Right.
Does your wife, and I'm really intrigued here about this, does your wife, how does she deal with that, with so many children in the classroom that don't speak English?
Well, they have, they integrate them with the kids that do speak English. And she says they do well trying to speak English, but there are some where she says sometimes the other students have to help her translate because they just, they can't, they try to, for them not to speak Spanish so that everybody, the class is being taught in one language. But when she's on one-on-one, you know, my wife and I, we're Hispanic, but we don't speak Spanish. And so it's a big language barrier, and there's not enough teachers.
Wow. Ray, thank you for the intel, and I appreciate your call. Give us a holler back one of these days. Could you imagine, Dieter? Again, he was talking about how the kids are having to teach the non-English-speaking kids how to speak. Could you imagine that in Memphis? I can't even understand some of the kids in Memphis. Come on, Maine.
Well, a part of it would be a blessing. You know how those parents will hire nannies that are bilingual or only speak a certain language? That's a whole thing where you want your kid to have two different languages under their belt. They make more. They're quickly hired after college if they're bilingual. So a lot of these parents will hire a nanny that speaks another language, and that nanny only has to talk to the kid in a Spanish or maybe Mandarin.
You know, I'm bilingual. I speak English and Southern.
Oh.
Southern is my predominant language, though.
Yeah, and sometimes Jasmine Crockett. Which gets you in trouble.
All the time. Let's go to Sue in Iowa. Wants to weigh in on the time change. All right, Sue, I knew somebody from the Heartland was going to call in on this. What say you?
Well, I have a rather unique way. I changed, I stopped my daylight savings time switch. I never fall back. My clocks are always on the current time so that it's never dark at my house at 4 o'clock, because that's depressing. Who wants that? So for years, I have never switched my clocks back.
Oh, she's just living in a different reality altogether.
Well, perhaps. I'm just living an hour into the future.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about, like, the clocks and changing all that. I still haven't figured out how to work the stove clock.
Yeah, that one's kind of annoying. And the microwave.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I figured out my F-350. I got that. But again, I never change them. So it's like, it's just not going to be dark at my house at 4 o'clock. My friends call it a Sueism. There's a lot of those. But one of them is I just won't switch my clock.
I like that Sueism. I love that Sueism. Sue?
I have a lot of Sueisms. I'll probably call you at different days and let you know what the Sueisms are.
I like this. All right.
One of them.
Sue, thank you for that. Again, Sue says she doesn't like it that it's dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Ben, I just think you need to take a nap. Just get some of those dark out shades, and you can take your nap.
No. We don't have to because Mother Nature is turning out the lights for us. That's why I'm in favor of not changing the
clock. This is not Mother Nature doing this. This is mankind that's messing with nature. God didn't want it dark at 4 o'clock. It's somewhere in Deuteronomy. Let's go to Nancy in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Nancy. What's going on?
Hello, Todd Starnes. I purchased your book, Our Daily Biscuits, and I pulled it up on my Nook, and I really enjoyed all of it because I'm a Southerner, and I knew the parts of the book. But thank you so much for writing that book, and I got to read it.
Nancy, I am so excited that you got to read it. So you read it on the Nook.
Yes, I pulled it up on the Nook because I'm 82 years old and I couldn't get to Barnes & Noble.
Well, Nancy, I am so glad you did that. And thank you for reading. I've got a new devotion book coming out in June. And if you love the Daily Biscuit book, you're gonna love Star Spangled Blessings.
Well, I look forward to reading it.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for being a faithful listener to the show. How about that, Dieter? We're getting it with Joe from LJ 85, and he's got a personal trainer.
And I mean, that's remarkable. Because
and Nancy with the Nook.
Nancy's cooler than me because I had to Google what a Nook was. That's technology. She's reading books on the iPads.
Nook is different from Nookie, by the way. Just want to let you know.
Okay.
Just FYI.
Wow. So I had no idea you could get the books on Nooks and Kindles.
Mm-hmm. You sure can. And folks, I do want to encourage you as we go to break. This is pre-order season, so we're encouraging all of you to go now and pre-order my new book. So we make sure we have plenty of copies on launch day. The last book that came out, for some weird reason, we had such a rush that they literally sold out. And as a result of a lot of the, they're having some paper shortages. It took them a while to get the new books out. So we want to get as many people pre-ordered as possible to guarantee that you'll get the book on launch day, which is June 17th. So again, go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and you can pre-order online. You can also get a Kindle or Nook version. There will be an audio version of the book as well. And you're going to love it. It's going to be so inspirational, so much fun. Had a lot of fun writing this with my good friend, Michelle Cox. All right. We've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. Don't forget, head over to ToddStarnes.com and you call your senators. We have the numbers. We have the seven senators that are co-sponsoring this bill to stop Trump's tariffs. So head over to ToddStarnes.com and let's get those phones going up on Capitol Hill. All right, let's get to our phones. Scott in Georgia. Hi, Scott. What's going on?
Yeah, Todd, last night I was listening to Mark Levin. He had Governor Ron DeSantis on, and they've been talking about something I've been watching for about a year. Is that like Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida, and maybe Tennessee, their houses, their state houses, are being infiltrated by Democrats that are Republicans. They run as Republicans, but they're Democrats. And they're secretly trying to change the red states to blue states through the state houses. This McMaster over in South Carolina, he's part of it, and Kemp, and the Georgia House, and DeSantis says that Florida's getting to be a problem, is that it's affected his agenda in Florida. And he's really having to fight down there. But it's becoming a huge problem, and nobody's talking about it except Mark Levin.
How many – so I know that you mentioned Tennessee and Georgia, and we've been covering the controversy there in Georgia for quite some time. And the argument I'm hearing from a lot of people is, oh, well, this is just these are the far right people in the party, and that, you know, Georgia really is at its heart still a conservative party. Are you telling me that is not the case?
Yeah, it's not the case. It's They're fake. It's the whole thing. It's like I said, government. If you listen to what DeSantis said on Mark Levin last night, I mean, it's going on in Florida. It's going on in Georgia. They just do a better job of covering it here in Georgia. South Carolina, I've been listening to the Tara show over there. She's been screaming about it, what's going on with Governor McMaster and the South Carolina State House, that they're just as corrupt. I mean, they run the government like South Carolina.
Well, South Carolina is in a world of its own. Hey, Scott, I hate to do this, but the computer's going to cut us off. We will do a deep dive into that next week. Thank you for calling, and thanks for bringing that up. We'll be right back, everybody.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
When I was in New York City, what was it, last week? It seems like a month ago. It was only last week. And was invited by Chris Ruddy to be a part of the bell ringing over at the New York Stock Exchange. And congratulations to Newsmax. Man, they have really experienced massive growth. Got some words a few days ago from management that our show is up 30% in viewership over last year. So thank you all so very much for watching the Todd Starnes Show, 5 o'clock Eastern. But anyway, I had to stop in at one of the bodegas. No, it wasn't a bodega. It was like a Rite Aid or one of those stores, one of the drug stores. And what do they call Rite Aid? They call it Rite Aid in some parts of the country. So anyway, I was in the Rite Aid, and I walked in. I wanted to get something like a toothbrush, and it was all locked down. I mean, something as simple as a toothbrush. And you had to ring a bell, press a button, and then someone would come and they would unlock the case, and then they would let you purchase the toothbrush. And I looked around the store. Just about everything was on lockdown. And I asked the manager about it, and he said, yeah, look, man, if we don't lock it down, it's walking out the door. I guess it's part of the buzzword I'm looking for? The culture these days. Yes. Apparently the thugs and thuggettes, it's part of their culture just to go in and steal what doesn't belong to them. So anyway, James Woods just moments ago posted a photograph, and Dylan, I've never seen anything like this, but it makes perfect sense. There's a store somewhere and they've taken the little bags, the individual bags of the Cool Ranch Doritos. I'm not a fan of those. I like the Flamin' Hot or whatever the Doritos are. The nacho cheese. Anyway, they've got all the little individual packets locked up in these little cases. I get it. Otherwise, they're just right out the door. So anyway, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. My condolences to all of you people who have to live like that. But it's the culture, right? We have to honor their culture. Let's go to the newsmaker line. Our good friend Robin Poffman, our Todd Starnes Show correspondent, joins us. Hey, Robin, how's it going?
Oh, fantastic, because I am up in New Jersey, and right over the border from New York. I've had that experience in New York City myself. My husband and I, within the last year or two, were at a Tunnel to Towers 9/11-related 5K race, and we went in to purchase, I don't know, some sort of probably a pack of gum or whatever it was, something very similar, at a Walgreens, a CVS, or a Rite Aid, as you call it. And the same thing, we look to the right, and there's a guy. He was a white guy, maybe 17, 18 years old, and he had a whole stack of, you know, like the little children's toys they sell in those things to keep your kids quiet while you shop. So he had all of those little toys stacked up. I looked at him, he looked at me, and he bolted out the store.
Really?
And my husband said, my husband looked at the clerk, and she's like, yep, there's nothing we can do about it. And so that's the way people are living in New York City. In the last half hour, I was in a store here in New Jersey, and they still have the little 6 feet social distancing sign up. I took a picture of it. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's been, what, 5 years since the virus, and you people are still wearing masks, you still aren't getting it. Everyone who came up with that idea, the whole 6 feet stand apart thing, anyone who's an actual scientist who's in the medical community knows that a coronavirus, regardless of what coronavirus it is, a coronavirus spreads. It's not coming just because you're not within 6 feet. It's like in the whole room. So the 6 foot thing was always bogus. It continues to be bogus, and it's bogus in the store I was just in 30 minutes ago.
You know, it's interesting because what's happening in New York City, here in Mogadishu on the Mississippi, which is what we call Memphis these days, it's a war zone, and it is so pathetic. And Robin, it doesn't have to be like this, but you know, people elect Democrats are soft on crime, and they coddle the criminals, and it is what it is. But anyway, they will tell you that crime is down, and that's what City Hall says. And the way they do it, they fudge the numbers. So let's just say you've got 40 or 50 cars in a parking lot, and they've all been vandalized. Robin, they would classify that, categorize that as only one crime. So it's just insanity. But again, to your point, it's you got to lock everything down. And if you don't, well, you're going to be out of business because the commodities are going right out the front door.
You know, it's a mentality that we've gotten ourselves into. And in my mind, it kind of, you're going to think I'm crazy, and I know you do think I'm crazy, but this goes back to 2008 when Obama came into office. And you've heard me say this before, that kids were going to the White House wearing flip-flops and shorts, whatever. And you know what? Too bad. It's a hot summer day. Put your shoes on your school trip. Put your pants on. Put on a blazer. You know, look like a man, look like a woman, you know, show some respect for the Oval Office. And that level of disrespect by how people look and how they dress, that was to me the beginning of the end. And oh, by the way, enabling your kids until they're 26 to be on your health insurance. I don't know about you, Todd, but when I graduated and college and I turned 21, I was off my parents' health insurance. I had a full-time job at ABC News. I was in grad school full-time, and I was on my own. I haven't lived in my parents' house since I was 17 years old. It's like, grow up. Like, the one great thing about the Trump administration is that if you look at his children and his grandchildren, nobody's drinking, nobody's doing drugs, everyone is, you know, cleaned up for the occasion, and he doesn't tolerate all the mess. And I think that it's long overdue to pull the plug on all the enablers, all the sanctuary cities, which are extreme enablers, and we have to restore, like, the cultural values in our country. And I know you do such a good job of pointing out all these insane cultural stories, Todd, but we've got to get down to business.
No, we do. And you mentioned that you're in New Jersey. And, Robin, I want to play some audio. This is from Fox. The U.S. attorney, Elena Haba, was on last night. And they're actually investigating New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. Let's take a listen.
I have instructed my office today to open an investigation into Governor Murphy, to open an investigation into Attorney General Plotkin, who has also instructed the state police not to assist any of our federal, and they list our federal agencies that are under my direction, the FBI, the DEA, all these individuals that are trying to clean up our streets in New Jersey, not to cooperate. That will no longer stand. Pam Bondi has made it clear, and so has our president, that we are to take all criminal, violent criminals and criminals out of this country and to completely enforce federal law. And anybody who does get in that way, in the way of what we are doing, which is not political, it is simply against crime, will be charged in the state of New Jersey for obstruction, for concealment, and I will come after them hard.
Those
investigations will start immediately.
Robin, your take on that.
Yeah, well, God bless her. As I posted on social media, and I've told people, Elena Haba, who is from New Jersey, like I am from New Jersey, does not suffer fools well. And she is going to literally take this on as a one-woman crusade. And the governor, you know, clearly there's some shady business going on here. All you have to do is allegedly, reportedly, all you have to do is look at the two senators of this state. It's a complete embarrassment. one that's going to prison, and then the other one who's, you know, standing up there doing 25-hour speeches for no reason and looking like a fool. And I'll tell you, in this another store I was just at, I went to a Starbucks to get a coffee this morning, and I saw a policeman from Newark, New Jersey. And he had his gun on, and I went up to, he was young, this is a guy in his 20s, and I said, thank you, officer, for everything you do. And he looked at me, like, absolutely stunned, and said, thank you very much, that means a lot. And it makes me emotional, because there's like 50% of the people here in the state of New Jersey, like Kellyanne Conway, people like myself, people like Elena Haba, that really get it, that really understand and remember that when they look across the river and the Twin Towers is no longer there, and you have, you know, some other World Trade Center random building that they put up in that slot, we remember 9/11. So you have 50% of the state that gets it, and the other 50% of the state that still doesn't get it. You blow people up in their backyard, Todd, and they are still not getting it 24 years later. And good for Elena Haba, because these cities, the sanctuary cities here in New Jersey, there's a lot of dangerous actors here, not just people that have crossed the border, you know, with the El Salvador and the gangs, but you've had terrorist cells over the years operating in certain cities in New Jersey, and you have a lot of nefarious actors that are up to no good, and I really hope that she gets to the bottom of it, because the people here need to be safe. Currently, they are not.
Robin, I was talking to Harry Hurley, our good friend over in Atlantic City, and a few other folks over the past couple of weeks, and there's really a lot of hope among Republicans that New Jersey could actually go red in the midterms. Are you hearing anything quite like that? I know it's going to be a job to turn the state, but do you think that could happen?
I actually do, because in some communities it has gotten so bad, and the crime is so terrible, and the break-ins and illegals roaming around, and you kind of know who they are. You know, these are people that are wearing hoodies and looking down, and some of them are from foreign countries, and, you know, you don't want to paint, like, you know, take out a paintbrush and, you know, profile, but in some neighborhoods it's pretty obvious. And I personally think the people of New Jersey have had enough. They've had enough of Democratic leadership in the governor's office. And I think that it could turn red. I've seen signs for some of the Republicans that are running now, like new signs that have been put up. I've been doing a little driving around, and I think it's very possible, Todd. And as far as Memphis is concerned, you know, I've been down there to Memphis. And I will tell you that they need to stop enabling the police department, the mayor, all these people, and all the funding that they're getting from the past Obama administration. They need to cut the cord. Enough, enough, enough. What's it going to take to get new leadership down there? I think it's when they pull the plug on all the money.
You see, I'm with you on that. And there's a big story a couple of days. We had a mass shooting at, believe it or not, at one of these nonprofits that's committed to stopping gun violence, and they had a mass shooting. One person died, six other people shot. And somebody was doing an interview with one of the TV stations, and they said, oh, you know, we only get $20 million from, you know, from City Hall, all of these nonprofits that are meant to stop all this crime. And I'm thinking, wait a second. Why is City Hall using our tax money and giving this money to charity? If I wanted to do that as a taxpayer, that's my job. But set that aside for a minute, Robin. They're not working. Whatever they're doing with the $20 million isn't working, because the violence is only getting worse.
Well, if I was the mayor, here's the very first thing I would do. The first person in the next shooting, and there's going to be, and the next person who breaks into a jewelry store, you throw them in prison for 30 years and start throwing everybody in prison and start using that money to build prisons and locking people up. And then the word gets out to, you know, thug amongst thug or gangbanger against gangbanger. Hey, we're locking you up, man, for 3 decades. That's 30 years. You'd see how quickly this would stop.
I love that. I mean, it's a great idea, Robin. It really is. All right, we got to leave it there. You doing well, my good friend?
It's all good, my friend. We will talk, as they say, off camera.
I love it.
Cheers to you, Newsmax, and all your stations, because conservative thought is the way to go. Conservatives are the only people that are going to fix this.
You got that right. By the way, Dieter says hello.
Okay. I love him. Have a great weekend.
Robin Poffin, everybody, a great, great lady. And she does a lot of incredible charity work with Tunnels to Towers. We're going to get her back on to talk about that. And they do such great work for the fighting men and women of this country. We do have to take a break. By the way, it is Open Line Friday. That means you get to call in, talk about whatever is on your mind. You can do that by calling us, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Going to be a lot of fun. Again, 5 o'clock Eastern. By the way, Newsmax is just running and gunning. Now officially a news giant, now listed on the New York Stock Exchange, over 40 million Americans turn to Newsmax for the news they need to know. They're tuning into the Newsmax channel on all major cable systems, and they watch Newsmax 2, my show, on all streaming platforms. They go online to Newsmax.com for breaking headlines. Millions more have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone and home TV. Reuters, man, they can't stop gushing about Newsmax, calling it one of the top news brands in the country. President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. He watches. So do tens of millions of Americans. You have made the switch to Newsmax for the news they can trust. Make the switch today. You won't ever look back. Well, let's go to the phone lines. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in today. Let's say hello to Mike in North Carolina. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, I feel like I won the lottery today. I get to talk to you for the first time, and you're talking about a subject in daylight savings time that is near and dear to me.
Is that right? Why is it near and dear to you, Mike?
Well, I've got a bunch of reasons, but I'll tell you about two. One, I have a construction business where we do excavator bulldozer work. And I'm a farmer. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting on a tractor right now talking to you, and I'm looking forward to staying on this tractor until 8 o'clock tonight because it's going to be light enough to work, and it's planting season, and we all, particularly farmers, look forward to this extra time in the spring and the summer to work. But I have another one that's even more dear to me. I run a Christian nonprofit youth hunting and fishing club, and we take boys ages 7 to 20 hunting and fishing all over the country, like 5,000 trips last year, and the hunting and fishing is just a hook to get to build a Christian relationship with these boys and sow into their life. But what we know today, I don't even want to tell my age, but I'm old enough that I grew up playing in the afternoon until 9 o'clock at night in the summer. And your mama would come to the porch and, "Hey, Mike, supper time." Of course, it's been supper time one time. We already left. But come on. And I'm sure you did too, Todd. But today, one of the biggest problems with young men is they have no outside time. They have video games and they cell phones. And that is their entertainment.
Well, Mike, I love this, and I want you to call back one of these days. I want to hear more about this great Christian ministry that you guys are doing. I think that's terrific, but you're right. When it's so dark so early, young boys don't have that outdoors time. And Mike, I'm of the age when we didn't come back home till the streetlights came on, and that's when it was time to go back home. I remember those days. We'll be right back, everybody.
this weekend only at Macy's. It's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show on this Open Line Friday. There is a very interesting story out there involving ladies and men. And gentlemen, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this story written by Marissa Matuzzo. The headline, Men Prefer Natural Lips on Women Over Fake Pouty Ones. This is all from a study from the University of Sydney, Australia, that men find natural-looking lips more attractive on women, even as the plumped-up pouts continue to dominate social media. I have noticed that. It's just really strange. It looks like, and I'm just trying to, I don't mean to offend if any of you ladies out there have had the procedure done, but it looks like you have Mrs. Potato Head lips. Right? You know what I'm talking about? They're like super big and bulbous, I suppose. Scientists at the University of Sydney showed 32 students, 16 men, 16 women, a series of computer-generated faces with varying lip sizes. Now, each face was presented with seven different lip versions, ranging from subtle and thin to character-like and inflated. That would be Mrs. Potato Head. The result, well, male participants overwhelmingly chose natural lips as the most appealing on female faces. Meanwhile, ladies preferred fuller lips. Overall, both men and women showed a preference for thinner lips on male faces. This indicates that gender significantly influences our perceptions of attractiveness, especially concerning lip size. Dylan, I'm curious. Do you have a preference?
Todd, you're not allowed to ask me this. I don't look at other women's lips.
No, but when you were dating, was that like a thing? I mean, if you've seen, I want to be careful here. If you go to Mar-a-Lago or Palm Beach, you're going to see the lips that I'm talking about.
Yeah, you'll see them.
They're like the Mrs. Potato Head. They look like they're fake.
Well, because they, you know,
they're pouty.
They are kind of fake. So
here's, it looks painful. It looks like they're in pain.
I think it actually is. I think it is painful. So you have to get over that phase. But like once it's, because it's painful because it's swelling up. So that's why when you first get it done, you know, it's like they're huge.
I know. I ran into one of these ladies that has the big lips like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, did you get stung? Are you having an allergic reaction? Are you okay? I was trying to help the person. But no, apparently she wanted to look like that.
I think if it fits her face, okay.
I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? Disfigured.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
It's like the butt thing. Girls get the butt job.
Oh, is that where they have like the bulbous and it, again, it looks painful because it looks like you have inserted a beach ball into your buttocks.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's what's happening.
I mean, how do you sit down? It's like you're sitting on one of those, what do they call those exercise balls? You've seen them in the gym.
Yeah. I think they are just exercise balls.
It's very hard. It's, you know,
it's a lot of weight.
It's a lot of weight. So I'm curious about this, ladies and gentlemen. If, in fact, you have a preference, do you prefer the fake, large, pouty, swollen lips or the natural lips on a woman? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Time now for some crime news across the country.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo, call the popo, call the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
All right, Dateline, Minnesota, Vanessa Guerrera, 30 years old, in trouble with the law. According to police, she confessed in her personal journal of a crime. You know, that's never a good idea. If you're going to commit a crime, you have to make sure you don't leave any evidence behind. But police, as they were as they were trying to investigate, and she said, "I didn't do it." She told the police, "I had nothing to do with this crime." As they were searching her home, they came across her journal. And in the journal, dated July 21st, was the following journal entry: "Totally stole a car today." So, that's terrible. She is now in jail. So, best of luck to you, ma'am. But the lesson here is never fess up in the journal. All right, moving on. This story from Florida. Dieter put this in my stack of stuff, and this is frightening. This is the headline: "Cops bust drunk man wearing pink thong, fake breast, and pink wig." And I'm just going to say, based on the guy's mugshot, probably needs to put the wig back on. Cops say Daniel Sorello, age 49, was so intoxicated that he was unable to provide for his own safety and well-being as he stumbled around the Applebee's parking lot in Clearwater, Florida. It's always the Applebee's, isn't it? The police say that he was extremely disoriented and tried to enter a vehicle that did not belong to him. The man arrested for causing a disturbance outside the Applebee's where other people were just trying to eat their cheeseburgers and their chicken tenders. He was arrested for disorderly intoxication, booked into the county jail where he changed into an orange outfit. Following a night in jail, he was freed from custody, ordered to pay $570 in fines. You know, my question here is just the pink thong. Is that it? That's all the guy was wearing, was a pink thong. I guess it's a little warm down in Florida these days. What? I don't know. So there you go. That's crime news across this great nation. Jesus. All right. Let's go to Mike in North Carolina, who's calling us near the world famous Sanitary Fish House. Mike, what's going on?
Well, I'll just say it's lovely down here in North Carolina, as always. And enjoy, you know, your visit when you come. But hey, I just wanted to say I've been married 50 years, and let me just say that I have learned that commenting on, and you know, we've been through a lot of different fads, you know, a lot of different fads, whether it's clothing or hair or whatever it is, but I've learned that commenting on any women's body parts will never work out well for you. I'll just say that. So I'm thinking you're getting yourself in trouble here when you're talking about women and what they want to do with their lips.
Well, anyway. Mike, in all fairness, I am just reporting the news without judgment. And clearly men have a preference here. And I will say this, I'm one of these guys, I would rather women not wear makeup. I just like a woman who is naturally beautiful. I'm not saying that women who wear makeup are not. I'm just saying I think guys do have preferences. And, you know, some guys would rather not kiss somebody that looks like a Mrs. Potato Head.
And so I'm not speak. Even going to comment on that.
No, so. No, don't comment. Don't. Mike, don't comment. Let me bear the brunt of this.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, I've you know, when I got married, I married a woman who she actually really wears the bare minimum amount of makeup, and she's always been beautiful. So anyway, so, you know, that works out for some women and some women it doesn't. So,
you know, anyway. I would be curious. I want to know how they do this. Is there like some sort of a procedure? Do they have to get an injection? Do they use something like a pump that you would, you know, pump up a car tire with? What do they do to get those lips big and they're not poofy, but they're plump? I'm very curious, Mike. Anyway, Mike, thank you for the call. I don't want to get poor Mike in trouble. Let's go to Robert in Arkansas. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind?
Brother Starnes, glad to be listening to you again. My thing is, I agree with Mike, the bare minimum makeup, which was not part of what I told his friend. But on the puffy lips, my understanding is it's Botox, which is botulism, that they have injected into their lips.
Ooh.
Which seems to me like that would be a health hazard, but there you go. What I did tell the call screener was, and I think I know you're old enough to remember this, when they came out with a thing called the Wonder Bra, all of the guys were going, that's false advertising.
Oh, that's true. It's sort of like, yes, I remember that. That was all the craze back in the day when things were larger than they, well, at least they appeared to be, or smaller.
Except in the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a fair point, Robert. All right. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926, whatever. That's 901-260-5926. I'm being told now that yes, you can have an injection in your lips. For me, that would be incredibly painful. So I can't imagine somebody shooting themselves up. Mike, does it hurt? That's what I want to know. We need to find out from the ladies. Does this hurt? Because it looks like, and I've never seen a lady smiling with the big fat lips. Maybe they can't. Maybe as whoever just called, maybe they're Botoxed. But if that's the case, you're eating soup and you can't even eat soup because it'll just dribble right out of your mouth. Nobody wants to see that on the first date. I'm just saying. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a quick break here. We'll be right back.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Stephen at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Does anybody remember the candy lips? Remember when you were kids? And we would always have a couple of the fan favorites as kids. You would have the fake cigarettes, the candy cigarettes, and then you would have the Wacko Wax wax lips. Anybody remember the Wacko Wax lips? They were that. It looks exactly like a number of the ladies wandering around Palm Beach, Florida right now. And again, the lips were actually very tasty, but again, those were candy lips. But I have decided we're going to survey the audience. So we've posted the story on our Facebook page, and we will be monitoring the comments through the rest of the show. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Doug in Georgia wants to talk about Hollywood. Hi, Doug. What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
All right. Thank you for asking.
I was just wanting to comment because all the time you talk about Jasmine Crockett. And if you remember Fred Thompson, the actor.
I do remember Fred Thompson.
And he served in Tennessee. I can't remember if he was a congressman.
He was a senator. Yeah, he was a senator.
Okay, he was asked. I can't remember what station because it's been years ago. But he was asked. They asked him comparing Hollywood to Washington, and his comment was, that the actors in Hollywood ain't got nothing on these actors up here in Washington.
Well, that is true, and he would know, wouldn't he, Doug?
Yeah, he would know. And every time you talk about Jasmine Crockett, how she was before and how she is now, I always think of that, of that clip.
She, you know, she actually got a lot of fame after alleging that she was the victim of race crimes at Rhodes College, which nobody at nobody at the college has any recollection of that. There's no information. Even Johnny Crockett's old law firm, they said we don't know anything about this. So it looks like everything about her is phony, Doug.
Well, they saw Republicans up there that's in the same category.
All right, Doug, appreciate that call. Thank you. Oh, by the way, we have yet another piece of crime news. I don't know how I let this slip out.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes APB.
So it turns out that the cops arresting the drunk guy wearing a pink thong and fake boobies and the pink wig out in front of the Applebee's is not the most disgusting story of the day. That story happens to be in Brevard County, Florida, where a Florida middle school principal was arrested after she made a 13-year-old student rub her feet, insisting she was giving the boy, who she nicknamed Sexy Chocolate, practice for his future girlfriend. Oh, so she was trying to give this guy some sort of a life skill set. Dr. Kevia Lark, age 53, was disciplining the student in her office for throwing a paper ball across the classroom during a test when she kicked off her shoes, put her legs across his lap, and told him to rub my feet, since he didn't have anything better to do with his hands. You know, I'm just going to take a wild stab at this. If I were that kid, I would have come up with something. There are plenty of other things to do with your hands. Lark was then heard scolding the boy for not rubbing her feet to her liking and showed him how she wanted to be massaged by touching the child's arm and shoulder. All of this according to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. Dr. Lark is accused of making the 13-year-old boy rub her feet, which is a crime. Dr. Lark allegedly told the student to rub her feet, quote, like he loved her. Anybody gross? Anybody want us to bring back the dude in the pink thong? Witnesses said she went as far as to tell the teen to rub her feet like he loved her and told the boy that she was showing him how to give her a massage so he would know what foreplay is when he gets a girlfriend. Lark admitted to a coworker days later she had crossed the line. Here's what gets me. There were eyewitnesses to all of this. So why didn't anybody pick up the phone and call 911? I mean, I would have done that before you got to the pinky toe. The victim told police that his principal referred to him as Sexy Chocolate while passing him in the hallway. Hello, Tyrone. Hello, Shaniqua. Hey, Big Sexy. No, really? Is that really going on in the school? By the way, have you seen all of these stories? I mean, there is some creepy stuff going on. I mean, it is pedo central at many of these schools around the country. She's now charged with lewd conduct and a lewd offense against a student by an authority figure and has been placed on administrative leave. Why haven't they fired this woman? Unless they're just going to, what, give her a slap on the toe? Is that what they're going to do here? Unbelievable. Sexy Chocolate. You my Reese's Pieces. Oh, baby, my baby. All right, got to take a break. Got to go throw up. 901-260-5926. No, we're not going to Applebee's for supper tonight, folks. We'll be right back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. I am your voice of truth and hope across America. This is Open Line Friday, and that means you get to call in, talk about whatever you would like to talk about today. I want you to write down our telephone number. Maybe you have a question for me. Give me a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Ben Dieter, I have opened up a hornet's nest as a result of the last segment of the program.
I mean, what hour? Because the entire show has been offensive. I've been on the phone with the FCC for the last hour because they're going, in 1 hour, we heard things like, well, let's not rehash the toes. Let's not talk about the Hershey. Let's not talk about the Botox. The boobs.
Don't forget the guy in the pink thong outside the Apple.
I was trying to forget about that.
But it's the one that's causing the big controversy is this new survey from the University of Sydney, Australia, down under. And they're saying that most men prefer women with natural lips as opposed to the Mrs. Potato Head lips.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've asked people on our Facebook stream, and people are going bonkers over this story. By and large, everybody is, they say they prefer the natural lips. Vanessa writing this, Todd, a little bit of powder, a little bit of paint makes a girl all she ain't. That's very clever. But then someone raised another issue.
What?
What about the oversized fake eyebrows and the giant fake eyelashes that look like they could sweep a floor? That's what Tammy writes about. So the ladies are really, first of all, the ladies all prefer the natural lips. They don't prefer the, you know, the candy lips. You know, did you ever see those when you were a kid? Did y'all have those repertoire?
That was before our time, dinosaur age, yeah.
See, back when I was in school, we were smoking the candy cigarettes and the girls had the big fat candy wax lips.
No. I feel like that would be canceled today. I feel like that would get a lot of people in trouble, Tom.
So you didn't stay at the corner of the Stop and Go smoking your fake candy cigarettes?
No.
Okay.
I didn't, and I think I'm good.
Those are the good old days.
You do know how these young people that can't afford Botox are actually doing this, Todd. It's called the Kylie Lip Challenge, and it's where they actually get, and the kids are actually doing it, and doctors have to come out and say, like, yo, this is not how you get those big lips that you're talking about. They take a mason jar. So, like, if you're doing the canning and you're cutting up the green beans from your garden, instead of doing that, they put the jar up to their lips and they suck in as much of the air out of the mason jar. And it basically brings all of that blood flow to their lips to make it swollen. And it gives them lip injections, quote unquote, for it can last a day or two.
What?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it leave a big ring around their face?
That fades before the rest of the lips do. So it's like a temporary version of lip injections, and you just use the mason jar or the ball jars.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Again, I just thought, the first time I saw it, I thought somebody had been attacked by bees, and they were having some sort of an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was just me. There's really no way to segue into our next guest. I'm trying, but the harder I try, the worse it gets. Let's bring in our CEO and great city councilman from Wichita, Kansas. And Dalton Glasscock, I'm just going to tell you, you're not allowed to comment on this particular story about women's the size of women's lips.
That's the worst lead-in that I think I've ever heard. And we need to work on, you know, some order or outline for these radio programs. Because I that's not a good lead-in.
No, the last three topics have been what? We've had a guy in a pink thong.
At least he didn't start with that headline, Dalton.
The guy in a pink thong outside the Applebee's.
Yeah, I might have comments for.
The vice principal who rubbed a 13-year-old's feet and called her, what is it, chocolate sexy?
He's out of control, Dalton. And this is only a Friday. Don't worry. This is only a Friday show. This is the day where Todd gets crazy.
It is
Friday. So it does make sense. You get delusions. It's kind of that season. It's nice outside. You want to be outside instead of in the studio.
It's fine. I understand.
Yeah.
So Dalton, we do have a lot to talk about this hour of the program. President Trump yesterday announcing that he is going to start cracking down on sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. And just a few moments ago, Caroline Leavitt had this to say at the White House.
All foreign nationals present in the United States longer than 30 days must register with the federal government. Failure to comply with this is a crime, punishable by fines, imprisonment, or both. As President Trump and Secretary Noem have both said, if you register and you leave now, you choose to self-deport. You may have the opportunity to return later legally. But if not, you will be arrested, fined, deported, never to return to our country again. The Trump administration will continue to enforce our nation's immigration laws. We will not pick and choose which laws to enforce.
Dalton, I'm curious, how are the president's immigration policies playing there in Kansas?
Well, I mean, I think people want comprehensive immigration reform. We all know immigrants that have come here. We all come from family of immigrants. And I think universally, those that have come here legally want people to also come here legally. And we all know the process is broken as well. And so we have to reform the process federally to make sure that we welcome people from across the country. But I know when I go to another country and I often travel, I have to abide by the laws of that country. And I'm there as a guest of that country during whatever duration I'm there.
You know, and again, it's this idea, if you really do love this country, then you're going to want to respect our laws, and you got to come here the right way. And nobody ever talks about all of the people that are trying to do that. You know, they have spent years filling out all the paperwork, going through all the procedures to become Americans. They've learned our language. They've learned our culture. And yet those people get shoved aside for these illegals that are just coming across, and they have no interest in doing any of that.
And we've had failed leadership from both parties on this issue. And that's why we're in this place. We're in this place because nobody's willing to address the tough questions when it comes to immigration. It is an incredibly heavy lift, but it is the responsibility of the federal government. Cities and states don't have a role in the immigration process of the United States. And if we have a law in the book, it should be enforced. And that's what the executive branch of the United States is tasked with, is the enforcement of the laws of the United States of America. And that is the role and the function of the executive branch.
I'm curious to hear your take on the tariffs. And President Trump is the master negotiator here. And I just wonder if the politicians up on Capitol Hill, they're just not getting him. Maybe they haven't read The Art of the Deal here, because everything he's done is right out of that book.
For me, I universally think tariffs should be sparse. I believe in free trade. But I also believe in free trade for those that choose the allies of the United States of America. If you're an adversary of the United States of America, you should be tasked with tariffs. And I think his approach to China is the approach. You know, China has outsourced and offshored a lot of their operations as well to try to get around trade and tariff policy. And I think this is a question for the rest of the world. Will you choose freedom, democracy, and the West, or will you choose to do business with a communist Chinese party? And I think that's the question that these tariffs should be aimed. We shouldn't just arbitrarily put on aims. Our tariffs, it should be what is in the best interest of the United States government, the United States people, and the country as a whole. And I think it should be leveraged for adversaries and allies, and how do we manage our friendships abroad. And I think we should treat our friends well, but our adversaries should know that if you choose an adversary of the United States, that you're not just going to be hit, but hit very hard with these tariffs.
Have you noticed, and there's a trend that's unfolding, which is pretty disturbing, and it's happening among left-leaning Americans. This story, and here's the headline, assassination culture. Half of left-leaning Americans say assassinating Trump and Elon Musk is justified. This coming from Rutgers University, the Network Contagion Research Institute. And it's just shocking to see that there are people in the country, and a frightening number of them, believe that it's okay to take out somebody like a Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And again, you are an elected leader as well. And I'm wondering, are you noticing even at the local level more hostility coming from the left?
Well, first off, because they can't win on the basis of ideas or on the ballot box, they're choosing violence. They can't understand, especially these hyper elite on the left, that individuals of good faith that are also intellectuals can disagree on public policy. And so for them, often the left, more than the right, seeks their validation in government. They look to government to be the answer of their problems. The right, universally, with few exceptions, does not believe that government is the answer to their problems. And so if you're on the left, you're seeking government and you realize that you're no longer in control of government, and that's where you're seeking your power, your validation, and your authority. On the right, you're not doing that. On the right, you're doing that with your family, your faith, your friends, and your purpose, your job, your opportunities. And so really, the challenge is they've lost their identity because their identity is rooted in government as the solution to their problems instead of the individual responsibility that I take, realizing that my problems are passed upon me because of myself.
Got to say, I'm loving law enforcement there in Wichita. You guys, one of the cities that had the violence, and somebody had their Tesla vehicle vandalized, and they were able to track down the person. Very proud of law enforcement there in the Wichita area.
Criminals should not have any safe harbor. If you violate the laws of any municipality, any state, or the federal government, you should be met with the full hand of law enforcement. And so I'm proud of the Wichita Police Department. They're doing a lot of great things when it comes to property crimes. There's a property crime task force that's recovered millions of dollars of stolen property that's been tasked up in the past couple months. And so there, you don't have a safe harbor here in Wichita if you're a criminal. And we make that very clear. And that should be the policy for municipalities across the country. And those that are choosing to have tough enforcement, you can see that they're safer communities that respect property rights and respect the rights of individuals.
And Dalton, I believe we actually have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
Dalton, this coming from our friends at KQAM, the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Department in Wichita, announcing that they have heightened security outside of the county jail. Apparently, a mother goose has taken up residence and is nesting in front of the entrance of the jail. So I guess it's going to be pretty darn hard if anybody needs to go inside.
Todd, these geese in Wichita are pure evil. I was running this morning along the river, and I about had to get in a fight with three of them. So I am full anti-goose, anti-geese. They are terrorizing the community, and they are the bane of my existence. And so I'm going on anti-goose policy because they control the city. People at City Hall don't. It's the geese along the river and the geese running, especially during mating season. They are violent, vicious menaces.
And they're Canadian. This is why we need strong borders. We can't let these Canadian geese come over and terrorize Americans.
Well, and they're protected species. And so there's only a few things that you're able to do to even mitigate the population. You can boil their eggs. That's one possibility. You can chase them off with dogs. But they are. I almost got attacked at the tennis court the other day. One flew over. I could go on a whole rant about this. You were ranting about stuff prior. Geese, I could rant about that all day, every day.
Wow, bad geese in Wichita. I had no idea. I always thought you were like an animal lover. I didn't realize you had an issue with the geese.
Todd, it always goes back to childhood trauma. My first memory, I remember being at O.J. Watson Park. A goose hopped in the kayak. My mom was feeding the geese. It bit her, and it was the first time I heard my mom scream. So it goes back to childhood. We're all products of childhood trauma, but that's the first memory I have of a traumatic experience in my life.
All right. Dalton Glasscock traumatized today. Good luck there, you folks over at the Sheriff's Department. I don't even think the deputies want to mess with the geese. They're bad news.
They are bad news, Todd. You're right.
All right. Dalton, we got to leave it there. Good hearing from you. Be safe out there.
We'll talk.
All right. That's the great Dalton Glasscock over at the Wichita City Council. We have so many great listeners there on KQAM. You know, we've got the geese here in Memphis, too, and they're Canadians. This, again, is why we've got to have stronger border security.
And they poop everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's
their nest, and they hiss. I didn't realize they hiss like that. And I also had an interaction downtown, and they're crazy. They are actually feral, feral animals.
I was talking to our good buddy, Dr. Peter McCullough over at the Wellness Company, and a lot of concerns with the trade war between the United States and China, especially over medications. And the reality is a lot of the medications that Americans take, those are actually made, or the components of them are made in China. So I want to bring your attention to what the wellness company is doing. By the way, write this website down, twc.health/starnes. That's twc.health/starnes. And they are offering all sorts of incredible discounts. You're going to save 30% if you use my code. So you got to go to my page over there, and you'll find all the information. They have supplements. They've got medical kits. They have information on virtual care, anti-aging and healthy living. And they also have great memberships, so you get even more discounts. But one of the things that I'm excited about is their medical emergency kit. And this kit comes with 8 prescription-only life-saving medications. You're going to get ivermectin. You're going to get the generic Z-Pack. You're going to get amoxicillin. And so you're going to have it on hand along with a guidebook that instructs you on how to safely use all of these in the event that you have some sort of an unforeseen medical emergency. So I want to encourage you to go and check this out, and we've all got to be prepared. I have 3 or 4 of these medical emergency kits, so I'm pretty well stocked up. I remember a couple of years ago, we had some sort of a major outbreak of some sort of a disgusting illness here in Memphis, and they were out of everything at the drugstores. And so I brought my medical emergency kit to my doctor, and I'm like, will any of these work? And he's like, where did you get that? And then my doctor goes and orders a medical emergency kit. So you never know when it will come in handy. And of course, Ben Dieter is all about eating. You know, Ben Dieter's a long distance runner. He's training for the Boston Marathon. Can I share that, Dieter? Am I allowed to share that? He's training to qualify for the Boston Marathon. So he eats a lot of these, like, I don't know, sheep hearts or whatever the stuff is, beef stuff. Well, anyway, they've got those in supplement form and all sorts of supplements. And even for kids, they've got great, delicious gummies for example, the super immune elderberry gummies, fruit and veggie gummies. So go check them out. Again, twc.health/starnes. You're going to save $30 at checkout with the code STARNES. And if you join a membership, they're going to give you even bigger discounts. So last night on CNN, they have one of these town hall meetings, and I've got to play the audio of what happened. You had a Republican lawmaker who was going toe-to-toe with all of these liberals. We're going to play that audio coming up after the break. It's just unreal, but God love them, because these liberals have lost their ever-loving minds, and I'm so glad that Republicans are standing up and they're taking the fight to places like CNN and MSDNC. All right, hang tight, everybody. Open line Friday, by the way, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, last night on CNN, they had another one of these town halls featuring Congressman Mike Lawler, the Republican, and going toe-to-toe against the Democrats. Take a listen to how this played out. Cut 12.
If he has found all of this waste, fraud, and abuse, we don't want that either. But what we're talking about is burning down the House instead of taking... What we're talking about is burning down the House instead of taking out the garbage. There is waste in the federal government. All of us would like to see that go so that we can help the people.
So can you identify one thing of waste?
Mr. Lawler, can you please let me finish my...
You've been talking
Can you let me finish my conversation? And I'm going to finish.
Okay.
And I'm going to finish.
Can you find one thing of waste that you disagree with?
What is your question?
Can you identify one thing of waste that they have found that you actually agree with, that it should be eliminated?
Well, today... I don't know if it was verified or not, but they said that people took advantage of the unemployment system. Anyone who breaks the law and steals federal dollars should be prosecuted.
And the only way to get that information is to actually analyze the data.
And we have processes and policies to do that. But for one person to make those decisions, everyone should have a level of concern by that.
Respectfully, in order to actually uncover that, you need to analyze the data. They have people that are career employees of each department.
Who are they?
Each department.
Who are they?
That are working as part of this entire Department of Government Efficiency.
Who are they?
And the bottom line
here
is...
Who are they?
You're talking about uncovering the fraud.
Who are they?
What exactly has been uncovered under the Biden administration? They're career employees.
Who are they?
I know you think this is like some big stunt, but the fact
is... Who are they?
You see, this is a typical Jasmine Crockett wannabe chick here. Her name is Democrat Congress gal Johanna Hayes. She's from Connecticut. Who are they? 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 Now, we played this long clip because I wanted you to hear what she did when she alleged that this congressman interrupted her. Mr. Lawler, I am speaking now. Mr. Lawler. But look what happens when he starts talking and she believes, and this is really generational. You've got this woman, Johanna Hayes, and she actually believes that if you disagree with her, you don't have a right to have an opinion. You don't have a right to have a say. You don't get to speak your mind. One set of rules for her and one set of rules for everybody else. That's who she is. But this woman's a real piece of work. She actually said during this town hall that she regretted her vote for the Lake and Riley Act. And I want to explain why she voted. You know, we're going to let her explain this, and then I'm going to explain to you why she voted for the Lake and Riley Act in the first place.
As I've thought about it over the last couple months, I probably would have voted differently. It's a vote that I regret. But coming into this Congress, I trusted that this administration, we would have some, if they wanted to have border security, they wanted to work with Democrats, that we could actually move forward. I'm not really sure of that.
You know why she regrets voting? First of all, the reason why she voted for it was for political cover. So her vote was to make sure that she wasn't booted out of Congress. But here's what she's telling you. She regrets voting for legislation that would detain an illegal charged with or convicted with assaulting a cop. So she regrets defending police. She regrets this law because under this law, any illegal that kills or harms an American citizen would be detained and would be deported. So literally, this woman, Congress gal Johanna Hayes of Connecticut, is saying that she stands with criminal illegal aliens. These are the kind of people we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Michael in North Carolina. Michael, what's on your mind?
I was listening to you on the way home from work, and I just forgot her name. That one woman brought up, like, if they break the law and give them 30 years in prison. My dad, he had an idea for gun crime. He always tells me, it's like, all these laws aren't going to fix a thing, and you want to lower gun crime, and don't make harsher laws, make harsher penalties. And his level is this: if you're caught committing a felony by carrying a firearm, that's 25 years in prison, no chance of parole. If you fire a gun and hurt somebody or injure them while committing a felony, life in prison. If you kill somebody with a gun while committing a felony, capital punishment.
You know, Michael, I've always found that these lawmakers up on Capitol Hill, they're all about, you know, writing all these new laws. And the problem is we don't need more laws. We have plenty of laws on the books. We have more than enough laws on the books. We're just not enforcing the laws. And I like this, where you're talking about making the penalties for committing these crimes harsher.
Yeah. Some people are like, oh, that's too harsh. Well, what about it this way? One, it'll get the criminal thinking. Guy goes out, he wants to rob somebody, he'll stop and be like, okay, if I get caught for this robbery, I'll probably get 7 years. But if I'm caught with a gun, that's 25 years on top of my 7-year sentence. And also, again, their hearts go out for the criminal. But what about the family man who got shot in the stomach in the robbery and is now in a wheelchair? This guy will the criminal will spend 7 years in a prison system where this guy will spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair without the ability to use his legs. Or in a harsher circumstance, if a woman, like say a mother, she gets hit in a robbery and killed. Well, these kids now don't get to grow up with a mother, and this guy gets to live. I don't know what to think anymore, or
or when you have more compassion for the criminal than you have for the victim.
Well, that's the culture that the Democrats fostered in this country, and that's been going on since, I would say, Barack Obama. Keep in mind, before Obama came along, people like even Joe Biden were tough on crime. I mean, we've all seen the videos. We've all heard the audio. But Barack Obama literally changed the culture of this country. He promised to fundamentally change America, and he did. And it's still happening, and that's what Donald Trump is fighting against here. But I like this idea of increasing the penalties for the crimes, and I would go so far as to say maybe we need to bring back some form of a public shaming of even the public executions to again tell people, hey, you kill somebody, this is what's going to happen to you. I mean, we've got to really think long and hard. How do we get out of this? I mean, for example, in Memphis, Tennessee, I mean, it's brutal. Yesterday, there was a school shooting across from a school, and you had all of these kids, these teenagers out there fighting. I mean, they were out to kill everybody. And then you have a girl get shot. This is every single day. You've got 7- and 8- and 9-year-old little boys, 7-, 8-, and 9-year-old little boys that are running around neighborhoods, terrorizing citizens, banging on their doors like they're trying to stage a home invasion robbery. I mean, this kind of thinking it's unacceptable, and it's going to lead to very, very bad circumstances. So, I think we've got to do something to shock society back into reality, Michael. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some, oh boy, it's like the gift that keeps on giving. Can we talk about Jasmine Crockett? Yeah, Jasmine Crockett back in the headlines. So she's weighing in on the deportation efforts. She's very upset because she was anticipating the illegals were going to be working the fields picking cotton. Here's what Jasmine Crockett has to say, cut three.
So I am telling you that this is a failed thing, but we've got to do better to connect the dots and let people know the reason you can't afford a home is because of these failed immigration policies. The reason you're not going to be able to afford your food is because of these failed immigration policies. And the same can go for the hospitality industries, where we have so many of those in the hospitality industry that are saying they do not have the workers that they need right now.
What is she talking about? I've never heard a woman speak so much and say so little. Cut number four.
There are still some people, even though everything is burning down around us, cannot see the flames, cannot feel the smoke or smell the smoke that is emanating from everywhere, and understands that it's not just the libtards, right? It's not just the lefties that are being impacted, but it's all of us.
No, I would say it's the libtards, actually, and they're having a hard time adjusting to all of this. And that's one of the reasons why they're libtards. And you know, part of me, I want to have some compassion for Jasmine Crockett because she is a libtard. And that just simply means that her brain has not fully functioned or has not fully developed, and she cannot think correctly. And there are many others on the left side of the aisle who are just like her. But the reality is, that if you are a right thinking person, you see what Donald Trump is doing, and you're stepping back and you're saying, yeah, we love all of this. We love all of these policies. As a matter of fact, CNN went out and they just interviewed regular people thinking that they were going to have folks, you know, coming up to them and saying, well, I burned my MAGA hat. He promised all this stuff, and now I have no 401k. We hate Donald Trump. We regret voting MAGA. But this is what happened.
How do you feel about the tariffs?
Well, I feel like for years we've been getting ripped off, and why not make it fair? You know, 0-0. And I think Trump was upfront about it. He said we're going to hurt some now.
I think some of the countries, they're already starting to
come around. It's going to be good. I really believe that.
You have faith in Trump?
Yes, I do.
I think he's doing the right thing. In order for us to get back where we need to be, he needs to get the money somewhere, and they're charging us. Why not charge them?
And you have to imagine Anderson Cooper sitting in his office watching this.
Carr says, filed again. Carr says, bless you, Donald Trump. Bless you. Where's Andy Cohen? Andy!
Before I play this next audio, I just want to warn you about something. Maybe you're driving, and I don't want you to become emotional. This is really gut-wrenching, what I'm about to play for you. And I don't want you to wreck your automobile. So if you're driving, you might want to just pull off to the side of the road for just a moment. As I play this audio, this is a soy boy libtard, and he is distraught. Distraught. And I'll let him explain why.
I just got news today that they are cracking down on diversity, equity, and inclusion within workplaces in Ohio. Our workplace was directly affected, and it was like someone took a knife and stabbed it in my heart, because the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee that I have been a part of for the last 4 years has been very, very important to me. And for those of you who want to call me a snowflake or liberal or say that I'm emotional, or I don't care.
Soy boy, libtard. I'm sorry. We weep with you. These are tears of laughter. Sad tears. This is sad laughter.
God love Donald Trump. Gotta love him. All right, real quick, let's go to Salem, Oregon, KYKN, Kathy on the line. Hi, Kathy, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Well, if anybody this weekend wants to just sit on the couch and get fed with information, they should go to YouTube and listen to the interviews that Lindy Lee, she spells it L-I, her last name, listen to her interview. She's been doing tons of them, and she's naming names. She's giving all the details about what people are doing on the Democrat Party behind the scenes.
And Kathy, really let's awesome. Tell people now. Let's tell people who Lindy Lee is. And you're right; that's Lindy with a Y, Lee with an L I. And she was an ex-DNC fundraiser, so she was very big, very powerful in the Democrat Party, but she has now left the party, and she's spilling the beans.
Yep. She's just the girl we needed.
Well, it's fast. So she's got a YouTube. She's got these interviews on YouTube. And, Kathy, it's a good idea. If you want to see how the other side is thinking and what was really going on, I would encourage you to do just that. Kathy, good hearing from you. Real quick, let's go to Germantown, Tennessee. Murph, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Murph, what's going on?
Dr. Starnes, good day, good day. You may find this interesting, just an observation. In today's Wall Street Journal, there is a picture of the distinguished senator from New York, the Senate Minority Leader, pontificating and graphing the national debt. Now, if memory serves, he's been in there for at least three terms. That's 18 years, if that's computed correctly. Does that make him part of the solution or part of the problem?
Well, I would say they're all part of the problem.
Yes, yes. Second commentary. I was at school today and found a sweatshirt that a kid had left in the gym. Vanderbilt Commodores, big letters, made in China. Now, do you think the people that put that sweatshirt together have any idea or any inkling of what a Vanderbilt Commodore is? Now, if somebody wants to buy a BMW from Germany or a Kia from Korea or from the moon, for all that matter, go for it. Knock yourself out. But you need to pay a 25% or 35% tariff on that particular piece of merchandise coming into the United States to pay for the shipping, the movement of that particular automobile across the nation, and the taxing that the production in that car that was not done here. It's simple math, boys and girls. Tariffs are protective. They're going to protect American industry. Now, is it going to cost a little bit more? Maybe $5-$10 on small items. But if you do the math, is that worth filling up American businesses and businesses hiring Americans and producing products here in America?
Murph, for thought. It's great food for thought. And, of course, Murph, ladies and gentlemen, our great historian here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show and a retired high school history teacher. I would have loved to have kids that were under his tutelage there learning history. Murph, thanks for the call and the tutorial. And he's right. By the way, just in case those Chinese factory workers are listening, a Vanderbilt Commodore is a Division I school that should be playing Division II ball. Just want to put that out there for you. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Well, folks, that's going to wrap things up today. Been a lot of fun here on the Todd Stearns radio program. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax. Be sure to get out there. Have a great Friday, everybody. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.